I want to join with Jerry in saying we do appreciate your presence. It's a beautiful day today. I got up this morning. Temperature was on down, maybe in the 50s, and a little fall in the air, and we appreciate that very much. And we appreciate your presence for the service today. Remember, the service is throughout the day, this evening at 6. Brian will be speaking to you at that time, and we hope that you can make it back and be with us at the 6 o'clock service. About a month ago, Brother Ronnie Joe Downs told me I preached a sermon 13 years ago on answering John Doe. I denied it. I said I did not preach that sermon because I couldn't recall it. And he produced the evidence on me, and I couldn't deny it. I did preach this sermon. I'd just forgotten it. And I preached the first part of it last week. What this sermon is about, it's based on 1 Peter 3:15, where Christians, as well as preachers, are to be able to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's within them, and that with meekness and fear. That simply means when someone comes in and asks you a question about why you espouse certain doctrines, you're to be able to tell them. And you give them book, chapter, and verse, and to show them why you believe what you believe. And the only way you're going to know that is by studying the Bible. And John Doe was a hypothetical, figurative character. But he does represent a lot of people, and I have met a lot of people just like John Doe. They live in a frustrated world. When John Doe came in, he told me he was frustrated because he saw all of these churches, they teach different doctrines. He said, I don't know what to believe. He said, I'm confused. Now, and he said he wanted to ask me some questions, and he asked me why I was a member of the Church of Christ. And I said, John, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what Jesus did to the young lawyer in Luke 10. When he asked him what he had to do to be saved, Jesus said, well, how do you read? I'm going to let you read it. What saith the scripture? How do you? In other words, he put him in the defensive and said, you tell me. And you know that lawyer did. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbors thyself. Jesus says, do this and you'll live. He said, you've answered correctly. And so that's what I did to John Doe. Instead of me trying to tell him, I let him go to the scripture and read it and tell me. And he did an excellent job because John Doe was a pretty smart fellow. And so he came back the next time. He came back the next week. And he said he had one more question, some questions to ask. But before he did, he said, Preacher Hoagland, I noticed when I came in the building that you folks don't have an instrument over here. Said, I visited several churches in this town, and they everyone have a piano or an organ. And he said, I'm going to make an offer to you. I said, what's that, John? He says, you probably don't have enough money to buy one, and I'm going to offer you $100 to help you buy you an organ or a piano. I said, John, I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that you offered me $100 or the church here $100 to help us buy a piano. But let me explain something to you, John. That's not the reason we don't have one. He said, oh? He said, well, why don't you have one? I said, then that's your question. Why don't you have an instrument? He said, yeah, that's my question. I said, I'm going to let you tell me. And John, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you tell me by reading Scripture. And the first one, John, I want you to turn to is Ephesians 5:19. And I think the boys will put it on the screen up here. And I said, read it to me. What does it say? And I said, do you have a testament? He said, yeah, I brought one this week. He said, I've got my own testament. I said, well, you mind reading it to me? He said, no, I don't mind. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I said, very good. Very good. John, I want you to tell me what that verse says. Let's start out with a word study. Let's start out with that word speaking. What is that? He said, well, Hoagland, you may not know this, but now I went to school. I took English. Now, I know English. I may not know the Bible too well, but I know my word. I said, okay, what is speaking? He said, it's a participle. And he said, it carries an imperative force. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, he says, by imperative force, it is a command. Then you're telling me that God's people are commanded to sing and speak to one another? He said, that's correct. Are you telling me then that if a person refuses to sing, they're violating the law of God unless they have a reason not to sing? He says, well, that's what the English, that's what the word means. He says, that's what a participle is. And he says that speaking carries with it the imperative force or the imperative mode, which is the mode of command. I said, very good. Very good, John. You're just really good on words, and I appreciate that. Speaking, then we're to speak to one another. He said, that's correct. All right. He said, well, Holy, let me tell you something about participles and infinitives. He says, they remain the same even if you change the subject, but many verbs don't do that. I said, really? He said, that's right. He said, I am speaking, you are speaking, and they are speaking. Did you notice I changed my nominative and I changed my subject, but the participle remained the same? I said, yeah, I noticed that. Well, he said, infinitives are the same way. I want to be, you want to be, and they want to be. I changed my subject, but did you notice the infinitives remain the same? But he said, not all verbs do that. I said, you're telling me something, John. You're teaching me. That's very, very good. Very good. But he said, now verbs are different. He said, if I say I fly, you wouldn't say he flies. I fly, but he flies. He said, you change when the verbs, when the subject changes, then the verb changes in a lot of cases. I said, very good, John. Now let's go to the next thing. Speaking to yourselves, what is yourselves? Well, he said, that's a pronoun. That's what it is. He said, Hoagland, it's what we call a reciprocal pronoun. I said, a what? A reciprocal. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, he said, we reciprocate. And what Paul is saying, evidently, is that as we're speaking to one another, you speak to me, and I speak to you, I sing to you, and you sing to me. We're teaching and admonishing one another. Therefore, we're reciprocating. I said, you mean then when we sing, God, we sing the praise to God, but we're teaching one another when we sing. He said, that is correct. He said, you may be singing alto, or you might be singing tenor, and I'm singing bass, but we are teaching one another. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's a command. I said, I like that. That's very, very interesting, John. He said, well, that's why we call them reciprocal pronouns, is because in this particular case, we're talking to one another. I said, that's very good, because really that's what the Bible says, teaching and admonishing one another. So as we sit there and we're singing, you're teaching me and I'm teaching you. Right? Right. That's very good. Very good. Okay. John, give me, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What does that mean? Well, he says, as far as I know, that's the kind of music you're to have when you sing in the church. And when you sing praises to God, it's to be psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's a type of music. What is psalm? Well, he said, I read one time that the word the psalms was an old Jewish hymn book written by the sweet singer of Israel, David. And the Jews in the Old Testament chanted these songs. They did what they call chanted them. But we sing them, just like we'll sing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, that's psalm. And he says, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I said, John, what if I were to say to you, well, that's fine, but I like rock and roll and I like jazz. What would you say about seeing rock and roll in the church? He said, well, all I'd say about it is not authorized. The only one to authorize this kind of music in your rock and roll's not authorized. Just like when God told Noah to build the ark out of gopher wood, he didn't authorize pine. I said, very good. I'm beginning to see what you're talking about. Then the type of music would be psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He said, that's correct. I said, read on, John. You're doing good. You're teaching me something. Read on in the verse there. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing. He said, there's another participle right there, singing. And he says, you know what singing is. I said, yeah, I know what singing is. And then it says, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. He said, preacher, I've got to confess to you that I'm a little rusty on that word making melody or those words. And I'm now the rest of the words I pretty well know. I said, well, John, I'll tell you what, I happened to look up and I'm going to tell you but what the word means. But I'm going to ask you some questions when we discuss this word, because in this singing process, we're to make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Right? He said, well, that's what it says. Well, making melody is from solo, from our word solo. And I said, John, I happened to look it up, and I'm going to tell you what the lexicographers say it means. Now, a lexicographer, of course, is the men who are professionals in the Koine Greek. They know the Greek. They say that it means to pluck or to twang, or to vibrate or to pull. He said, really? I said, yeah, you can look it up. That's what they say. To pluck or to twang or to vibrate. And I said, John, they give three illustrations of that to try to illustrate the meaning of the word, making melody, which is, you have the participial form of it, soloing. First of all, they say it's like a carpenter plucking a carpenter's line. You know what a carpenter's line is, John. Well, yeah, he stretches it and he's trying to make a straight line, and he plucks it. He pulls up that carpenter line and it makes a straight line. Well, I said, the lexicographers use that as an illustration. Then the second thing they use is plucking of the hair. Plucking of the hair. And the third, they use the plucking on the strings of an instrument, like a guitar. When you vibrate the strings on that instrument, the man picking the guitar, he's vibrating, he's soloing. He's plucking the strings on that instrument. He said, well, I didn't know that, but that's quite interesting. But now, John, I want to ask you a question, since we've discussed this. Do you think the lexicographers meant that when we come to worship God, that we're to bring a carpenter's line and everybody's to sit there and pluck a carpenter's line to worship? He said, no, that's just illustrating what the word means. That doesn't mean you bring a carpenter's line to church and pluck on it. Well, I said, the second illustration is plucking the hair. Do you think that that those men meant, by defining the word solo, making melody, do you think that they meant that if you're sitting somewhere and a woman is sitting in front of you with a nice head of hair, that you're to reach up and pluck her hair during the worship service? He said, no, that'd be dangerous. I said, yeah, it would be rather dangerous to do that. That's not what he's talking about. I said, okay, John, the third question that I want to ask you, they said about plucking on strings of an instrument. Do you think that they meant that you'd bring a guitar into the worship service and pluck the strings of an instrument? Is that what they were saying? He said, no, that's just an illustration. He said, you'd have as much authority to bring the carpenter's line in and to pluck somebody's hair as you would an instrument. They didn't mean bring an instrument into the worship building. They were just illustrating what solo means. I said, very good. I said, John, it happens that some folks will take that and try to say that the lexicographers said you can bring a guitar or an instrument in because the lexicographer said it means to pluck or twang on the strings of an instrument. They'll try to say that means you to bring it into the worship. He said, well, I can see through that. That's not what they were saying. What they were saying is illustrating what the word means. I said, well, what are we to pluck then? He said, the context would have to show that. Yeah, I'd have to read it in the Bible. I said, well, read it. What does it say? Singing and making melody in your hearts. He said, there it is, preacher. The soloing is in your heart. Not on an instrument, not on a carpenter's line, or not plucking hair. It's in your heart. He said, I found it. He says, your context has to tell you what to solo. Very good, John. Very good. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Therefore, when he said, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, the making melody, the vibrating or pulsation, is to take place in your heart. not on a carpenter's line, or not on a guitar, or some kind of instrument, but in your heart. And this is to be unto the Lord. And that is correct. It is unto the Lord. Now, I said, John, can you begin to see that? Can you see in that text anywhere an instrument could be? Now, you asked me why we didn't have an instrument. Isn't that your question? He said, that's my question. I said, can you see anything in that context that would bring in an instrument? He says, no. It says singing. And playing would be a coordinate of singing. And you can't, you'd have to have authority for playing because you're either singing or you're playing. He said, preacher, I can tell you something about else, too, about verbs. I said, what's that? He says, you can't use one verb to define another verb. He said, now you can use an adverb. For example, he says, Hogan, you can't say I walk by riding. He says, that doesn't make any sense. You don't walk by riding. Now, I could say I walk slowly and use an adverb. I said, good, John. I said, could I say I'm singing by playing? He said, no, that doesn't make any sense. Could I say I'm playing by singing? He said, no, they're two coordinates. Now, you could say I sing softly, but that's an adverb. You can't use one verb to define another verb. You can use an adverb. I said, very good, John. Very good. You're teaching me something. And therefore, you're either singing or you're playing, and there are coordinates. Yeah. That's right. And therefore, singing is one thing and playing is another. I said, do you see anything in the context that indicate playing there? He said, I can't see anything, but I can see singing. I said, turn with me, John, to Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. You can see it on the board. They'll put it up there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. All right, John, let's talk about this briefly here. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I said, how does the word of Christ dwell in you, John? He said, well, by studying it. And when you study the word of God, it dwells in your heart, in your mind, just like making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, the word of God dwells in your heart. I said, how does God dwell in us? He says, through the word. I said, how does Jesus dwell in us? Through the word. How does the Holy Ghost dwell in us? Through the word. They all dwell in us. The Bible says they do. Very good. Very good. I like that. Now, after he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom, he says, teaching and admonishing one another. Well, he said, I told you they were receptacle pronouns that we teach one another. Didn't I tell you that over in Ephesians 5? Yeah, you did. Teaching and admonishing one another. So when we sit here and we're singing, did you know we're teaching one another? Now, the praise is going up to God, but we are teaching one another. Therefore, we're doing it evidently simultaneously at the same time or concurrently when we sing. We sing together. And you teach me and I teach you. We're supposed to do that. Therefore, unless we have a reason for not singing, we need to be singing. It's a command. Now, it might be that something would happen to you physically that you couldn't sing, but God would have to take that into consideration. But we're talking about under normal circumstances, you're supposed to be singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Teaching and admonishing what? One another. With grace in your heart. John, what is grace? I've been told it's unmerited favor. And that God has blessed us and he's been good to us and he's been merciful to us. And while we're singing, we're also to have grace in our hearts. That is, be thankful to God for all the manifold blessings that he has bestowed upon us so graciously. And that is a part of the song service. We think about that when we're singing. Okay. John, turn with me now, if you don't mind, Acts the 16th chapter and read verse 25. We might even take 24 and 25, but basically I want verse 25. It says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. You read that? He said, yeah, I got it right here. I read it. That's what it says. I said, where were Paul and Silas? Well, it sounds like they were incarcerated. They were put in jail for preaching. That's correct. And they did what at midnight? Well, it says they prayed and sang praises to God. I said, then singing is all. I said, you reckon they had an instrument in the jailhouse and played instrumental music while they were singing? He said, well, it doesn't mention it. And even if it did, it says their feet were bound in stocks and they couldn't have gotten to it because they were tied to the floor in stocks. So they couldn't have got to a piano. I said, very good. I said, John, did you ever hear the old cliche, if it's good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me? He said, I've heard it all my life. I said, do you believe it? Well, he said, I guess I better believe it. Well, I said, what did Paul and Silas do? They prayed and they sang, but did they play? He said, it's not in the text. That's an addition. That's an encroachment. Very good, John. John, you see, John is a smart fella. John Doe is. Don't you forget it. He's a smart fella. But he still has an inquisitive mind, and he wanted to know why we did not have an instrument. And I'm letting him read in the Bible, and he has found out by studying his Bible why we don't have one. Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God at midnight. And God heard them, sent an earthquake. All the doors of the prison were open. Every man's bands were loosed. The jailer thought that a first-class jailbreak had been accomplished, and he's going to commit suicide. And Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And he called for a light, fell down before Paul and Silas, and said, what must I do to be saved? Paul told him to believe on the Lord with all of his house, and he'd be saved. Took him the same hour of the night, washed the stripes, and was baptized. He and all his straightway. So you see, the jailer knew that a miracle had been performed. This earthquake, God sent it down from heaven, and because Paul and Silas were his servants, and they could have escaped, but they didn't. As a matter of fact, none of the prisoners left for some reason, even though their bands were loosed, that is, the chains. But anyway. The point that John and I were discussing is the fact that they prayed and sang praises unto God. And John, one more passage, we could go, there's nine different passages in the New Testament, and every one of them say sing, not one of them say play. But over in 1 Corinthians 14:15, I want you to read that. I will pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. I said, this passage that you've just read to me, John, what does it mean to sing with the Spirit and with the understanding? Well, I think the Spirit means to have the right attitude when you sing, to know what you're singing. It's not a ritual, but you know what you're singing. It praises to God. And means according to the teaching of the Bible, that is, the song has to be scriptural. And then with the understanding, that is, you understand what the song is saying. You understand it. And in this process of singing, you are making melody in your hearts to the Lord. John said, I see now, preacher, when I came in here, I offered you $100 to help you buy a piano. I thought you folks were so poor you couldn't afford one. And I was going to give you $100. So you could buy one, but you have explained to me that's not the reason you don't have one. It's not authorized. Playing is not authorized. And I have read in my Bible where I'm to sing and make, teach and admonish one another when I sing. And that I'm to make melody, soloing, in my heart to the Lord. and says, I'm beginning to understand that. I'm going to do something now that I've never done in the pulpit before. I'm going to turn with me to song number 321. I don't lead a song very often, but I want to illustrate to you. I'm not a good song leader. But I want to illustrate to you what we've been talking about here. And I want everybody to sing just a little louder than you normally do. I want to get my song here. If we do good on one standard, we might even sing another. And you think about making melody in your heart to the Lord and put your heart into this thing, because that's what you're supposed to do. It's a command. We're going to sing one standard. If we do pretty good, we might go to another. Now, I want everybody to get ready, and I want you to sing with me because I need a lot of help. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for then that I have done? He groaned up on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond decree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Very good, very good. Now you see, that's what we're to do in singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We're ready now for our invitation song. Harold will be leading us. If you're here in subject of the invitation, you've never been baptized into Christ, you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never been born again, this is the accepted time to come to Jesus. Give me your hand, God your heart, Jesus your life. Make the church your home and heaven your hope through obedience unto the gospel. Shall we stand with Harold and sing our invitation song?